Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Welcome to the program. Here are the headlines on my website, which really are the headlines on my head and the headlines for my radio show. Look carefully. From the Washington Times, Chairman Obama has given Gitmo terrorists special rights. Now, he doesn't know he did that. He didn't think it through, of course. He's still playing the rookie game of president. It's sort of learn as you go along. But he has granted the terrorists at Gitmo special rights. But the main thing is that he feels good about the special order that he's given, and that his liberal minions around them all feel good. Beneath that is another story you're not going to want to miss. Muslims kill free speech in the United Kingdom. There's no other way to put it. A Dutch politician who did a movie that he wants to show in England has been banned from entering once free Britain. That's right. That is correct. The tail is wagging the dog in England. Where's the pork, Mr. Obama? Where's the pork, Mr. Obama? How about everywhere? In fact, if you go to my website, michaelsavage.com, and print it out, it's underneath the book ad for my my book. It's from Senator Tom Coburn's office. Your hair is going to stand up. It's all pork. There's no job creation. You've been had, schmuck, but you got what you deserve. Republican Judd Gregg withdrew as the nominee for the Commerce Secretariat. And that is because the new gangster class that has taken over America is stealing the census job from the nonpartisan bureaucrats and turning it over to the White House itself in order to control the census. He quit. So as I said to you, welcome to the New World Order, the new fascism of the left. I know these words are harsh to you because you're under the illusion that you have a reasonable, nice young man who's running America. Well, my friends, if he's done this in a short three-week period, I want you to take the arc of where Obama is today and project forward and tell me you'll be living in America in 3 years. I don't think you will. Not the America you want to live in. Now, I want to tell you something right now. One of the big issues for most Americans is the right to bear arms. The right of the people to keep and bear arms in defense of themselves and of the lawful authority of the state shall not be infringed upon, except that the manner of bearing arms may be regulated by law. Now, that's a constitutional provision from Florida. I've been searching states through the NRA, and the NRA is a great organization. They need your help more than ever right now. In fact, I'm going to try to do a fundraiser for the NRA sometime soon because the day is coming that these leftist criminals are going to want to disarm you as sure as I'm standing here. There's no question in my mind that the reason Hitler disarmed the population in the early 30s, the reason Castro the murderer and his good friend Sean Penn disarmed the Cuban people so early in his administration is because he feared the people. He hated the people. He despised the people, so he disarmed the people in order to turn them into malleable little mice. Now, last year, as you well know, the Supreme Court for the first time actually looked at the Second Amendment, and it was the first time in America's history that the Supreme Court actually ruled on it. And thanks to George Bush, who we're all starting to miss a little bit more every day now. Yes, I knew. I didn't think that day would come, but here it is. We're all starting to get a little regretful that Bush is gone, aren't we? And when the Supreme Court reviewed the Second Amendment, they said, yes, you have a right to bear arms. So we breathed a sigh of relief, but it was 5-4. It was by the breath of one individual. Now, the turncoats on the Supreme Court, those are the left-wingers, who want to take away not only your right to bear arms, but your right to free speech, your right to raise the children the way you want, the right to think what you want. Believe me, they're not going to stop until they seize your guns, and they're working on it, I sure as I'm sitting here. So what I want to do for a few minutes is tell you that I looked around America, and to me, there's a few provisions in the Florida firearms laws that should become a model for America, and I want to read you two of them. A synopsis of state laws on purchase, possession, and carrying of firearms. And what's interesting here is that liberals agree with me on this. I don't think you understand this, but many liberals want the right to bear arms because they fear you, the conservative. And, of course, the conservative fears them, and so you want to bear arms. And that's a good thing because, obviously, we want to protect ourselves from a draconian government and also from crazy people who are out to do us harm. So if you look at Florida's gun laws, it's interesting. It says no permit is necessary for a rifle or a shotgun to purchase, register, license, or carry. Nothing. Nothing. Handguns, permit to purchase. You know, the only thing you need is a permit to carry is you need a license. But here's an interesting thing that you won't find in most other states. A resident of the United States who is a non-resident of Florida, so that means you, if you don't live in Florida, may carry a concealed weapon or concealed firearm while in this state if that person is 21 years of age or older, has in his or her immediate possession a valid license to carry a concealed weapon or firearm issued by the state of their residence, and abides by the Florida laws on carrying a concealed weapon or firearm. So that means, let's say you're an officer of the law, or you have a conceal and carry because you have designated threats were made against you and your local sheriff has given you the authority to carry a gun, get you a license, and you registered it and all that, you can carry that gun into Florida. Now, I can't tell you whether it's legal for you to carry it, how you get it there. I mean, maybe states you're going to go through won't permit it. But the point is, in Florida, you can conceal and carry. But here comes the best part. Here it is. Under Florida law, there is no duty to retreat. If you are attacked in any place, you have a lawful right to be. Let me read that again. Under Florida law, there is no duty to retreat. If you are attacked in any place, you have a lawful right to be. So if you're sitting in a restaurant and a bunch of deadbeat bums come in and hold out guns and say, we're holding you up, there is no duty to retreat. If you're attacked in any place, you have a lawful right to be. Instead, you may stand your ground and meet force with force, including deadly force, if you reasonably believe it is necessary to prevent death or great bodily harm to yourself or others. Do you hear this? Isn't that wonderful? So that means that's why the oldsters in Florida who are packing are not held up as often as they are in states where they can't carry guns. Because the punks who hold up restaurants for a quick buck don't know if they're going to get their heads blown off by an oldster sitting at a table over there who might be a retired cop or a retired military. You understand this? So there it is. I mean, there's much more in here. I'm just giving you a synopsis of the things that struck me as very interesting. And so Florida, to me, has excellent firearms laws that should become a model for the rest of America. God only knows most states in America no longer grant people the rights they should have, and only the wrong people have guns in terms of the illegal people who are carrying the guns. And I'm totally in favor of the right to carry a gun. If you are of a certain age, if you're sane, if you're not a Democrat, and you didn't vote for Obama. I'll be right back. Savage. Now, I don't usually do gun shows. You know, in 15 years on the radio, I've never done a show about guns because it's a show killer. Most liberals are afraid of guns because they're – I know why. I know why liberals fear guns because they're – I want to do it in a way that isn't insulting. When I say liberal, I have a specific type I'm talking about. I can almost describe him physically and viscerally, but I'm not going to do that. We're talking about a certain type, and I think you can pretty much figure them out. And they're afraid of guns. They have suicidal ideations and fears, and that's why they don't want guns in their house. If you ask a liberal, why don't you have a gun in the house, they say, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? Well, afraid they may use it. Well, okay, well, so, you know, don't get a gun then. You're suicidal or whatever, don't get a gun. But it doesn't mean that you have the right to tell those who are not as mentally unstable as you to not have the right to bear arms and protect themselves, which is what the Supreme Court has said. So that's why I don't do gun shows, because, you know, this is what you're going to get as guys. You can do this day and night. There's a few third rails of talk radio. This is one of them. But I like to live dangerously, so I'm going to ride on the third rail for another segment here and see if I don't get sparked. You know, there's actually a way to ride on the third rail and not get electrocuted. I'm going to try that today. I'm going to try to ride the third rail and ground myself at the same time. Maybe I'll give you a chicken foot recipe at the same moment as I'm talking about guns. Or if you don't like that, we could talk about Rodin. If you don't like that, we could talk about Pissarro. If you don't like Pissarro's paintings of the snow, I can talk about the snow itself. If you don't like that, we could talk about snowflakes in Vermont. We could talk about red barns in Vermont before they became real red barns in Vermont. You know, I can talk in code right now. The red barns of Vermont were once red barns in Vermont before the Reds from New York changed the red barns into Vermont. The red barns in Vermont into red barns in Vermont. That's not a bad poem. I could set that to music and have a new conservative rap song. But if you want to call about guns, just don't call me about ballistics and ammo and size of gun. We're not into that now. We're talking about gun laws and why the NRA must be supported, et cetera. That's all. Francis, San Francisco, welcome. You're in San Francisco. You don't have the right to bear arms.
I agree with that. But you were talking about concealed weapons permits and people obtaining them. California is extremely difficult to obtain a concealed weapons permit, but you were mentioning Florida. Florida as well as Utah. If you go to Utah, there's a website called bci.utah.gov, which is a Bureau of Criminal...
Hold it. We're not interested in websites. What's the point of your call? I don't get it.
The point is that non-residents could obtain a concealed firearms permit as long as they take a course from a qualified instructor, as long as...
In which state now?
Utah as well as Florida allow non...
No, I understand that, out of state. But I'm going to something else. Let's say you're a resident of California, as I am. And let us say that you're a non-resident of Florida, which I am. But I am going to Florida, and I want to carry a concealed weapon. And I have a permit to carry a concealed weapon in California. I'm allowed to carry that weapon in Florida, is the point.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for correcting me, even though I wasn't wrong. But, see, this is why you don't do gun things. We'll go on to the best bedspreads if you want to talk. You want to talk about Ferraris or something like that, cars? Because I'm not talking about the neo-Marxists today. I'm on strike. You know, you're starting to see the real Obama come out. You see the mean, nasty face underneath the nice kid from Hawaii. This is the real president you got here. Him and Nancy Pelosi are basically running I'll let it go at that. I don't have to fill in the gap here. Do you have a soundbite from that movie I asked for? What's the name of the movie? Hoffa. It looks to me like Jimmy Hoffa's back from the grave. The more I look around, it looks like Jimmy Hoffa, they disinterred him. He's running the country in one way or the other. You got any sound bites from Hoffa with Jack Nicholson? Let me.
We are going to march. We are going to hold together. And we are going to get what we came down here for.
I'm going to do what I got to do. Get the union back.
It wasn't me.
I'm going to do what I got to do.
Not bad. I didn't like Danny DeVito. I'm not a fan of Danny DeVito. I liked him when he was a shrimpy guy who was funny. Then when he started to take himself seriously, he was horrible. Then when he appeared drunk, that was the end of him. Remember he went drunk on The View? He almost then he needed a pair of diapers at the end of that show. Like an embarrassment. He came there like stewed. What was he playing a tough guy for? What is it with these very short guys who want to play gangsters? I don't get it. There's another one. Oh, is it? There's a lot of short guys who play gangsters. I don't know. But there's a metaphor here. But there's no point in beating it up. But Hoffa, in other words, I know Nicholson played Hoffa. He was excellent in there. Nicholson's never done a bad movie. Everything he does is good. I'm not sitting in judgment of his life. I don't care about his life. It's his business. He has to answer to his maker, not me. So don't ask me about his life, but he's a fabulous actor. But I'm saying DeVito was in it and played. Who did he play in it? He played like the union guy who was his buddy or whatever. and came up the tough way. Who would think Danny DeVito's a tough guy? You know what I mean? But the point I'm making is that it looks to me that the AFL-CIO is now running a good portion of America again. Maybe that's a good thing if you're in the AFL-CIO and you don't want the right to vote. Why not? And if you want to build a train to Las Vegas from Los Angeles and you need $8 billion, you got it now. Now you can have a train. They're going to build a train from L.A. to – see, this is the jobs bill. It's a snow jobs bill. You can write that down. I said it first. Yeah, Obama's telling you the truth. It's a jobs bill, a snow jobs bill. It's a snow job bill. That's what you got here, jobs bill. It's a jobs bill. If you supported him, it's a jobs bill. You gave him money, it's a jobs bill. If you run a goon squad called Acorn, it's a jobs bill. Yeah, yeah, jobs bill. And, of course, it's the three turncoat Republicans who should be thrown out of office. But what's the point of getting mad at a guy like Arlen Specter? Arlen Specter's always been this way. He's always been a turncoat. Susan Collins with that fake shaky voice. You ever thought she was a conservative? And Olympia Snow, I have no words for. I'd rather see Olympia. How do you people reelect them? What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you people? What a nice cup of tea I'm having here on the Savage Nation. Could you play There's No England Anymore for me? Because there is no England anymore, and I like that song. In fact, when I was in Florida last, that's when I first heard it. When the guys in that station played it for me. I can't let go of it. Was this the Kinks? No. I got this one from the Sopranos. I got it from one of the Sopranos shows. First heard it. Loved this song. Like when the strip was coming in with the club. I mean, that show in the beginning, it was a great show, the Sopranos. It kind of died out. I'm watching the old segments now. 1999 is my favorite year when he has flashbacks to the 60s with his father and his uncle beating people up in the streets. The healthy days of America. The mother comes after him with a knife in the kitchen. In other words, a normal upbringing. Shut up or I'll smother you with a pillow! That I can relate to. A hysterical mother. Get out of the kitchen, I'll cut you to ribbons! With a huge bread knife. Now that's what I can relate to. That's a normal upbringing. He became a nice, healthy gangster, but at least he got married. He has children in the movie. So what? It didn't traumatize him. You're telling me the liberal brought up with a mobile over his crib is normal? Take a look. Take a careful Savage. Look. I miss Christmas. That's my dog Teddy barking jingle bells for you. Oh, what a great dog. God, is he great. I wonder if Obama will outlaw dogs with too much testosterone. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I'm playing with the show today. The third rail of radio is interesting. I've been in the business 15 years. I've hit the third rail a few times and almost got electrocuted. I did, but I'm still here. So what I'm doing now is I'm actually floating around on the third rail of radio talking about guns, which is definitely one of the third rails of radio. And I want to ask you something. I'm going to give you three topics that kill listenership. They turn it right off. Guns is one. Most listeners turn it off. Abortion is two and UFOs are three. What other topics make you turn off talk radio immediately the minute you hear it? Let's say you're scanning. I'm doing live research on the Savage Nation. On the third rail of the third rails of radio, guns, abortion, UFOs. I mean, you bring them up, you hear it, you're off. You're listening to anything but that. You'd rather listen to Obama giving a speech on jobs creation when you know it's hogwash. You'd rather listen to Bernie Ward talking about the beauty of children. Whatever. Bernie Ward reading a child's nursery rhyme. Anything would be better than hearing a show on UFOs. But what other topics make you turn the radio off immediately? I'm in a nice mood, okay? Leave me alone. What can I do about the pork barrel spending? It's over. It's done with. The gangsters won. $2 billion earmark for zero emissions power plant in Mattoon, Illinois. $2 billion for manufacturing advanced batteries for hybrid cars. I don't want to tell you right now, but they can't get rid of batteries for hybrid cars. They don't know how to dispose of them. They're so toxic. The next time one of these snot noses drive by in a hybrid car What you should do is stick your finger out and give them the middle finger and scream at them when they roll the window down. Your battery is more toxic than you are. $3 million for purchasing neighborhood electric vehicles, golf carts. $5.5 billion for making federal buildings green. Well, that's definitely going to make federal buildings green for the people in the window business. $650 million for the DTV transition coupon program. Duh. $1.2 billion for summer jobs for youth. Oh, my God. God. You know, when you say summer jobs for youth, you know what that strikes me as already? The SA, the brown shirts. $200 million for workplace safety in USDA facilities. You know what that means? That means diversity training from Obama supporters. $200 million for public computer centers at community colleges and libraries. Yeah, the kids in community colleges need computers. That's just what's missing in their life is a computer. So they go on and check out pornography. $75 million for the Smithsonian Institution so they can continue their fine work in debasing America's history. $750 million earmark for the National Computer Center in Maryland. $224 million for International Boundary and Water Commission, U.S. and Mexico. What? $224 million for the International Boundary and Water Commission? What in the world does the Water Commission do? They go down to the Rio Grande and have a spitting contest? $198 million to design and furnish the Department of Homeland Security headquarters. You hear this? That has an awful lot to do with Homeland Security. To design and furnish the DHS headquarters, $200 million. That's not going to stop one terrorist attack. $10 million to fight Mexican gun runners. Ha, 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 ha. They make more than that in 1 hour. $10 million to fight Mexican gun runners. I have a solution to that problem. Bring the tanks home from Iraq and put them on the border with Mexico. Then you could save immediately $10 million. $850 million for Amtrak. A real great expenditure, that one is. Amtrak, the most inefficient rail line in the world. $100 million for lead paint hazard reduction. What? That means the contractor who removes lead paint, who contributed to Obama, let's say, $5 million, he gets $100 million in contracts. $39 million slush fund for state fiscal stabilization bailout. That means bums like Schwarzenegger, who refused to cut a nickel out of the California budget. Instead of the billions that go to illegal aliens being stopped, they're going to go to the federal government, meaning you, to bail out the illegal aliens that are bankrupting the states. $275 million for flood prevention. Well, I want to start with it now, Mr. Obama, since there are floods that you're doing nothing about. $65 million for watershed rehabilitation. $255 million to build a polar icebreaker. No, I'm sorry. $250 million to build a polar icebreaker for the Coast Guard. I don't know about you, but I thought the Coast Guard was supposed to guard our coasts. Why do they need an icebreaker to guard our coasts? Because it's fun to ride up there and break ice. $1.3 billion for NASA. Okay, well, what are they going to use it for at NASA is the question. I'm a big believer in science, but I'm not a big believer in BS science. NASA has done amazing work, so I'm all for the money for NASA. I don't even think that's enough money for NASA, incidentally. $100 million to clean up sites used in early U.S. atomic energy program. All right, if they really use it. Now, here's a beauty. $10 million for urban canals? Wait a minute. Urban canals. They want to build canals again? We're going back to the 19th century? We're going back to 19th century technology? They're going to get canal boats and pull them by ropes? Maybe Obama can go the full circle. He can dig canals, the Erie Canal in New York. He can redig the Erie Canal. He can flood it. And then he can get oxen. He can bring in oxen from India to pull the canals along the Erie Canal. That would be a real step forward in the greening of the earth. Or shall we say the browning of the earth with the ox droppings. $1.5 billion for carbon capture projects. What in the world is a carbon capture project? That means Al Gore's companies and people like him who create fake items, as far as I'm concerned, that do nothing but pollute the environment itself, both in the manufacturing, the use, and the disposal of these objects. It's a boondoggle. $300 million to buy hybrid electric cars for federal employees. $500 million for state and local fire stations. There aren't enough fires to go around to spend that money. 180 mil for construction of BLM facilities. Oh, that's important. 500 mil for wildland fire management. Now, remember, this is in addition, these figures are in addition to the already gargantuan federal budget. $522 million for construction for the Bureau of Indian Affairs. You hear? $500 million to build the Bureau of Indian Affairs, a new headquarter. Not a nickel will go to the poor Indian. Well, they don't need it anyway. They got the gambling casino. What do they need the money for? $412 million for CDC headquarters. What, so they can put out more false science at the CDC? More fraudulent studies? $500 million earmarked for NIH facilities in Bethesda, Maryland. $100 million for constructing U.S. Marshals office buildings. Why do all of these bureaucracies need new office buildings? $800 million for constructing federal prison system buildings and facilities. $307 million for constructing National Institute for Standards and Technology office building. See what this is? None of this will result in actual work being done. It's constructing palaces for the bureaucrats. This is like the ex-Soviet Union. $1 billion, again, for construction of NOAA office buildings. Wow. But here's the killer. Here's the worst part of it, that the Republicans who passed this should be, as far as I'm concerned, deported. $160 million for so-called volunteers at the Corporation for National and Community Service. Those are gangbangers in Acorn. They're the ones that worry me the most. What do you think they're going to do, these hardcore Leninists, with $160 million? Bakersfield, Brian, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, don't make me turn my radio off when they start talking about the homosexual agenda and how they deserve the same rights as everybody else. You know, I'm from Texas, and you know, we.
When do I say that?
Not you, everybody else.
Well, I'm not going to get into the gay agenda because to me it's a disgrace, the whole thing, to do this to the society the way it's been done. And I'm not going to go into the gay marriage issue. But so, okay, I asked a question. I'm trying to backtrack. My mind is already past this. I asked, what topics make you turn the radio off? And you say, when you hear anything about the poor gays and how much they need help and gay rights, you say you turn the radio off.
Turn it off every time.
All right. My middle finger hurts from that arthritis. Immediate left finger. Here we go. New York. Cesare, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you for taking my call, Mike. One of the subjects I instantly change any station that I'm listening to or watching is religion. But whenever you seem to talk about it, it makes me want to listen more because you're able to talk about it in a very personal way.
That's interesting. Well, I don't talk about religion. I read from the Bible. It's much different. It's like, so that's an interesting thing that you just said. It's exactly what I'm talking about with the false construction projects that the government is going to build under Obama's deceitful plan. They're building buildings for these enterprises, they're not actually going to do any work in there. They're just building the buildings. The Bible is God's word to those of us who believe in God, okay? The religions vary according to the human being talking at the time about their religion. You follow me?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to do religion. I'd rather read Deuteronomy than talk about religion per se. That's what I'm saying, is I'd rather read the Bible and then you do what you want with it, you know.
You make it very...
But it's not like, that's all. I don't want to get into it. But I was asking people, what is it that makes you turn radio off? What topics do you hear on radio that immediately is a kielbasa? I could use a kielbasa right now. I don't know where to kill. I meant to use another word in the word kielbasa. I'm hungry. I couldn't sleep last night. I woke up again 4 in the morning with Obama and the Acorn workers, with dire visions of them being granted green denim uniforms to come around. You know, like meter men are allowed to, like, come up to your property and look at the gas meter, like a throwback to the 1920s. They enter your property. Yeah, meter man. I don't like the whole. What do you mean? You can't read it in the – why can't you read it back in the gas company? So I don't like meter men snooping around to begin with. So my worst nightmare about Obama – uh-oh, my dog is having a little – dogs get convulsions. Teddy's having a convulsion. I'll take a break. Savage. All right, Teddy's okay. He really did. He had a little convulsion. Little dogs get that. I never had it with the big regular dog. But I heard the little ones have, he got a, you know what it is? I said I'm having trouble sleeping, and he broke into a convulsion. Look, they're very sensitive. I get up, he gets up. See, I was up 4 o'clock in the morning, marching around the room, you know, with the hands behind the back, waiting for the dawn. As the bus is going by, there's the first walker, there's the first runner, you know. Then, like, I went back to sleep at first light. I've done this a lot in my life. I went on the computer from 4 in the morning. I picked the stories basically for the web early in the, you know, for the michaelsavage.com. I see what's going on. It's wonderful. Insomnia is great if you use it. Notice, when you wake up, you have a choice. You could lay in bed and worry. You can thrash, and then you're going to get sick. I learned 30 years ago, get out of bed. You get out of bed and start doing something. Now, with the advent of the computer, there's no need to ever get worried again. You don't have to worry about personal issues again. Just go on the computer and look at what Obama's doing. Then you don't have to worry at all about the yourself or any of your own personal problems. Just take a look at what he's doing to the country. I was reading Isaiah. Here's a good line. You're talking about the Bible. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. That's pretty amazing. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and he hath made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he concealed me. And he said to me, thou art my servant, in whom I will be glorified. And I said, but I've labored in vain. I spent my strength for naught in vanity. Yet surely my right is with God, and my recompense with my God. And now the God said that he formed me from the womb to be a servant to bring Jacob back to him. It's very interesting stuff if you understand what he's saying, or what the ancients were saying here. So, you know, whether you say it's poetry or allegory or God's word itself, it almost doesn't matter. What matters is what it does for your strength. I'm going to read you one more from Isaiah, because Isaiah is one of my favorite. God has given, I'm going to change hath to has, because the hath throws people off. God's given me the tongue of, you want me to change the whole thing into the vernacular? God's given me the tongue of them that are taught, that I should know how to sustain with words those that are weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. I can't change that one. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as they that are taught. So it's an interesting one. You see, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? That's something, but you have to have had a child. You don't know anything about children until you have them. In my life, the biggest problems I've had are with people who have no children who lecture you on how to raise children. They're not bad people, but they don't know what they're talking about. It's like the guy who took over the treasury. He's like a childless father telling you how to raise children. What, I don't even know his name, the Peace Corps guy. He's not long for the job. What's his name? Geithner. Got up there a failure. They ripped him off the stage. The next day, the market took a dump. Everyone said, oh, my God, that's who they picked? I'm going to save the country. I want to thank my mom and dad for taking me to Thailand when I was young. I loved the elephants. Oh, my God. You got like a zero rating, that guy. But that, see, his idea of how to run the treasury is the same as a person without children telling you how to raise children. Everyone knows what's right. You know, they could tell if you know what you're doing. I had gay friends when I was young. I did. So what? He was a nice guy. He was a friend of mine. And he always lectured on how to raise a child when I first had a child. He was the biggest expert. Why? Because his mother wrote a book on child rearing. I said to him, Bobby, okay, but you don't know anything about it. So please, don't tell me your mother's book. Secondly, your mother was a horrible person. Look what she did to you. And he would laugh. All right, I always have friends who have the ability to laugh. And I can laugh. People poke fun at me. I laugh too. Believe me. That's the salvation of the world. Try THC and see. Kansas City, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, specifically, I love when you read from the Bible, by the way. But specifically, I feel insulted and I turn you off when you are talking about anti-pot issues. And I'm not talking just about medical marijuana. The hemp issue itself, just going for fiber and oils, I think it would be a huge impact on our economy if it would be legalized, just to grow hemp.
Well, I mean, nice. Is it the big difference between wearing a hemp belt and getting stoned, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, big difference, sure.
I mean, I'm nothing against a hemp belt or a hemp shoe, but, you know, I'm just trying to tell people there are medical problems with marijuana, that's all. I mean, I have no moral thing about it. All right, Mark, I understand where you're coming from. Yeah, like, I really understand. I don't know, I know what he is. The guy could be in a bug house. He could be a nuclear. He could be a neurosurgeon. What do I know? I don't know who's sitting out there. Could you play music? The people need a little life here. Anything. This is the Savage Nation. Hey, Mike, stick to that gun stuff. You sound like a man when you do that. I don't want to hear about your dreams and your fears. No more of you waking up in the middle of the night like a fruitcake. Stick to that gun stuff. And none of that poetry and Ralph Waldo Emerson anymore either. Let out that Beethoven crap.
This old engine makes it on time. Leaves Central Station about a quarter to nine.
It's Trevor Johnson. Michael Savage's pocket history of the world.
At a quarter to ten, you know it's driving again. Driving that train.
I'll tell you about the burial techniques of the Nordic people, the ancient Aryans. You don't know about that. It's very interesting because many people are over 50. They're trying not to think about it, but they do all the time. Like, what are they going to do? They're going to bury them, you know, and then you're going to go underground. You're going to get a crypt, or you're going to be cremated, as is so popular today. You don't know that the Nordic people, the ancient Nordics, burned their important dead. They did not bury them as others on the earth did. They burned their important dead. And they put the ashes of their greater leaders in urns, and then they built circular mounds around these urns. These mounds are the round barrows that occur all over Northern Europe. Now, the people who preceded them were called the Brunette people, at least they used to be called that. The Brunette people who preceded the Aryans did not burn their dead, but they buried them in a sitting position in elongated mounds, the long barrows. This is very interesting because you think that there are social customs as to the proper method of disposing of a person's body, you know, at the end of a life. And, of course, that's the custom of your religion, and no one's going to tell you what to do or what not to do. But what's interesting to me is how these customs are breaking down, where today so many Jewish people and Catholics even are being cremated when it's totally against their religion. Totally opposed. Their religion is totally opposed to cremation. Now, I don't want to go into that whole thing, but you want to do that, we could do it. It's like guns or abortion or UFOs, if you want to get into that, because we're going to get into religious beliefs. To me, that's your business. See, religious beliefs are your business, not mine.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. I'm going to go to the bottom of my website to add a few new topics. The number one, I think, topic we're talking about are the actual earmarks in Obama's non-earmark pork bill, even though you fools still think it's a jobs creation bill. It's a pure, unadulterated, left-wing pork barrel spending bill, and none of it is really for jobs. It's all for building things. And unfortunately, you know, I'd say, okay, so building things creates jobs. Even the clause that would have prohibited the hiring of illegal aliens for construction workers was gutted by Obama. It was also gutted by the entire Senate. That shows you who they're working for. They're not working for you, the American worker, in my opinion. But here are some other stories from MichaelSavage.com. You know the Noctuplets mom? You call her the Octuplets mom. I call her the Noctuplets mom. We have a story on that. We have a quotation from Ralph Waldo Emerson. A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds. Incredible. We learned that in college. And it's worth reading in these times. Then we have, I'm going to just hit some high notes here that you may want to. California KKK members in black robes strike again. That's my headline. I call them KKK members in black robes, the Supreme Court in California, because that's what they may as well be. They may as well be wearing pointy hats, because the California State Supreme Court allowed a transgender former prison inmate to proceed with a lawsuit accusing prison guards of failing to protect her from being raped by her cellmates. And forgive me if I'm wrong, but isn't the object of a person who's a man who has a why should they blame the guards? Courts rejected this, but the KKK members in black robes are allowing the trans to the prison guards because they didn't protect her, him. The excesses of Nadia Suleiman, she's the knocked-up-let mom. As I said to you before, I have a simple solution to this outrage, which is to have the doctor in the fertility clinic in Beverly Hills pay for the care and upbringing of the poor children brought into this world who never should have been brought into this world. Let's see. Wall Street trades on the cloud of pessimism. Thank you, Obama. No child molester has ever been cured. That's an interesting article. The renowned profiler who has trained over 2,000 FBI agents, state police, homicide and sex crimes detectives, as well as attorney general investigators, says that no child molester has ever been cured. Okay, read the article. Indian editor faces court over Islam article. Wherever there's Islam, won't let the Dutch politician Geert Wilders into England to show his movie. This shows you what happened to the land of the Magna Carta. Here's a land, England, that created the greatest document of freedom on the earth, the first to do it, the Magna Carta, upon which our U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights were based. The Magna Carta was the mother document of freedom. Now look what's happened to England because of so many Islamic fanatics in the country. They have killed free speech. And if you think Chairman Obama is far behind, you're mistaken. So if you want to talk about any of these topics, give me a call. 1-800-449-8255. But in the last hour, I asked the listeners, which topics make you turn radio off immediately when you hear them? Like, you know, everyone has certain topics. You get angry and you turn it off. Some will get you agitated and you listen. It's an interesting, but some are so horrendous that you turn the radio right off. So I asked, which topics make you turn any radio show off, not just mine? Okay, San Diego, Robert, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. Global warming, the lies of what they try to spread as being factual.
Can you believe that even though it's been proven beyond a reasonable doubt by all reasonable scientists that there is no man-induced global warming, that they're still marching ahead? Marching ahead like the great step forward, the great leap forward, with billions of dollars and hundreds of millions of dollars. They're talking about it like it's real.
Yes, truth is always the first casualty in any war, I guess.
Wow, that's well put. So, okay, I don't generally do global warming unless I have articles that I think are valid and I read them. And you know what the mother of all articles is disproving man-induced global warming? There was a study done by Major League International group of scientists. I can't put my finger on it. I think it's on my website. I link to it. They bored 1.2 miles into the Arctic, or could have been the Antarctic. Okay, so forgive me for getting the poles wrong. The point is they bored 1.2 miles into the core of the ice, and they pulled up the core sample, and they analyzed the core sample, and they were able to determine how ancient the core sample was, and by looking at the remnants of the DNA of the plants and animals that lived at that time, they were able to prove definitively that the Earth's temperature was not at all affected by mankind since that time. To me, that was it. I don't want to listen to Al Gore and the scientists, so-called, who are getting big grants to prove what's not true, simply to impose the drilling was in Greenland. Okay. But the point is that the study was very valid, and anyone who reads it understands that Al Gore is a complete and total shyster and con man. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255 at michaelsavage.com. Upset over England's actions. Do I have a caller from a whack job? I don't, where's New York today? What, are they listening to basketball? Anyone in WORLN? And no one from KNEW in San Francisco? No one from Los Angeles, KGIL? No one from Texas? I'm no. Where did all these people go? I guess they listened to the show and turned it off. I asked, what would make you turn the show off? So they turned the show off. I guess they wanted to hear me rail against Obama. Well, what do you want me to do every minute, every day, talk about the Chairman Obama? I know who he is. I know what the guy is. I'm not fooled by his nice guy look. Okay, we got a little mini dictator here who needs to be, you know, constrained. So what do you want me to do now? Richard and Modesto, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello there, Michael. The subject that makes me turn off the radio is fluff pieces. Anything that's supposed to make you feel all alone. Sorry about that. That's my son.
I thought that was part of the joke. No, I don't mind children screaming in the background. So, in other words, if a host does a fluff piece, like what?
A fluff piece, like they'll talk about like a local parade and how there was a child who had a kitten rescued out of a tree.
Yeah. I get it. Like a human interest piece. That's overtly a human interest piece. That's of no interest to you as a human.
Absolutely.
Okay. I don't do them. I never do human interest pieces. Well, unless you consider going and having a dish of spaghetti as a human interest piece, you could say that borders on it. But in my case, it is of interest to humans because it's real as opposed to fake. Chicago, Charlie, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike. I was. You know, you're listening to you and your dog went into convulsions after he heard the stimulus package, for Christ's sake, you know.
Yeah. It could have been. No, actually, the minute I said I've been getting up in the middle of the night because I can't sleep over what Obama's doing to this republic, that's when the dog got a convulsion. I don't know. Maybe they pick up some kind of electromagnetic signal out of us when my tension level went up. Dogs are really hardwired into you after a while. They're like a part of you. I call them angels with fur. I wrote that years ago. Go steal it now. Make another bestseller. Go ahead. Make another movie now based on what I say. I started talking about dogs all of a sudden. Dog movies, dog books. 15 years I've been doing dogs. A station built a whole segment around dogs with a barking. Didn't do them any good. They're still in the toilet. Now they got Wallbanger now. They got the hysteric that follows Wallbanger. New York, WOR. Richard, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. I want to say that any talk about celebrities makes me turn the radio off immediately, like lightning speed. And I'm an old radio.
You know, I go on websites, newspaper sites like the New York Post, which is owned by Murdoch, and every click is another celebrity. So I never saw anything like it. They give you hard news on the top, and it's all about the sluts of Sunset Boulevard or the fake men that they're running around with. I can't take it myself.
And I also don't like oversimplifiers. I can't stand them. Jacob Burkhart warned us against them long, long time ago.
Well, I'm sorry, who did?
Jacob Burkhart, Swiss historian.
Well, look, you can accuse me of that because there's one thing you got to understand. Radio, talk radio, and AM radio in particular, is a very difficult place to spend a lot of time in great detail on subjects. What I try to do is simplify but give you the essence of the facts anyway.
You remind me of one of my great, great professors.
Well, that's a compliment because I do know the difference between simplification, oversimplification, and succinct description. I mean, they're not all the same, as you well know.
Right.
And anyone who could say what I just said and understand what I said doesn't belong in radio. They're probably living inside my body. That's a joke. Richard, where did you go to school? What did you study?
I went to Queens College.
I'm sorry?
Queens College.
Now, what did you study?
American history.
Yes. Well, I had a great professor at Queens College. He was the best. He was a genetics professor. He was the chairman of the department, and he was the easiest professor to understand when he taught. The hardest was the new professor, the assistant professor, which I've mentioned before. He'd get up there with, well, you're going to get tested every week, and here's diagrams, and you got to remember this and memorize that. He was so frightened of his own subject matter, which he didn't fully understand, that he intimidated the students. The full professor was relaxed. He got up there. He sat in, he had a beautiful suit. To this day, I can remember, he smoked a pipe. In those days, there were a lot of smoke in the class. Would you believe it? He sat back with a pipe, and he smoked, and he talked to you as though he was telling you a story, but he was actually teaching you science.
Uh-huh. Well, I took a lot of courses in history, but I also took some biology, just survey courses. But history was my passion and still is.
Isn't that something? Well, good luck to that. Good luck to you with history today, huh? The phone number I'm not going to give you because you all know it already. The website you know already. What else don't you know? You'll find out when I come back.
Savage.
Is the Savage Nation, and of course the big news, and it's not that interesting to me, is that the Republican congressman, or is he a Senator Gregg, withdrew from Obama's cabinet appointment as Commerce Secretary because he was not at all willing to live with with being a sellout. In other words, he's not Spector, he's not Snow, he's not the other one, whatever her name is. I don't even want to remember her name. Her name will live in infamy, all three of them. And he said, no, I'm not going to go along with this Obama, you know, steamroller. So he withdrew. So there's a Republican out there we can have pride in, you know. 1-800-449-8255. Many, many, many stories to talk about. And whatever you want to talk about, you give me a call, whatever. Oh, Bill Clinton says we need fairness doctrine or more balance on the airwaves. Do you, Bill? Well, you're not doing well enough. Why are they all so desperate for the fairness doctrine? How come? Wonder why all of the worst of them, the ones who have the most to hide, are interested in the fairness doctrine. You take the beast from Michigan, Debbie Stabenow. Debbie Stabenow has a husband. Forget the hooker scandal. That could happen to anybody. But Debbie Stabenow, who's been pushing the fairness doctrine, has a husband who programmed Air America, which failed. He right now runs a network that programs only left-wing programming. And he has the nerve to say that that's why they want fair and balanced. It's a business deal. So you know what? You want to do it? Go ahead and do it. We're gonna sue you. And we may sue you personally if you do this to us. I have a gigantic organization that's going to help me. I've also raised money on my own, on my Savage Legal Defense Fund. We may go after these people and sue them personally. I may consider bringing a lawsuit against Bill Press or anybody else who tries to take away my livelihood. How's that? Instead of fighting them on their turf, folks out there in radio, if they come after you, consider suing them personally. How's that? In other words, Bill Clinton is not a member of Congress. Is that right? Yet he wants to take away your millstone. Now, the Bible says, he who takes away your millstone, it is as though he has killed you. Read the Bible. He who takes away your millstone, it is as though he has killed you. So Bill Clinton wants to kill you. Debbie Stabenow wants to kill you. Tom Darkin wants to kill you. Then sue them personally. Try to go after them in a way that they're vulnerable. Sue them personally for trying to take away your millstone. Show them that there are consequences for taking away a human being's livelihood in this world. This is not about fairness. These people are the worst as far as I'm concerned, and they have the most to hide. That's why they want to silence conservative talk radio and put schmucks on who can't get an audience. In other words, they want to live in the ex-Soviet Union. You better fight them every step of the way. You better fight them with everything you have in you. I'm warning you, this is going to be the seminal battle of all time. And we're ready for it. Bill Clinton wants more balance on the airwaves? This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable to me. They have left-wing shows nobody listens to because, well, they can get that from ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and even Fox News today. So you put conservatives on in one band of the media in radio. Now, first of all, it's almost impossible to legislate this. Let me tell you that right now. Let's say they pass something like this. I would immediately sue to force NPR to carry conservative programming. And tell me where that would end up. They want to take away my right to broadcast? I'm not fair enough because I have an American's viewpoint that happens to be a minority opinion today. But there's probably 45, 50 million adult Americans who agree with me on most things, not all things, and I should be silenced? No, Bill, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We'll bring a lawsuit against you personally since you're not a congressman or a senator or anything anymore. You're just a private citizen. And if there's any way for my attorneys to sue you personally for trying to take away my millstone, I'm sure they'll do it. Because it's not going to be in my hands. I have a great team. I can't tell you who it is yet, but they're one of the finest legal outfits in the world. They're a great Christian organ. I'll tell you right now, I think I'm going to have the Thomas More Law Center. They contacted me. You know, I've helped with Lieutenant Colonel Chassani. You guys sent a lot of money to Chassani's defense. I'm probably going to sign an agreement with the Thomas More Law Center, and they're going to take on Michael Savage to protect him from the evils of Bill Clinton, Debbie Stabenow, and Tom Darkin, and anyone else who dares to try to take away my millstone.
Savage.
I think it's absolutely time to pass a standard. Now, whether it's called the fairness standard, whether it's called something else, I absolutely think it's time to be bringing accountability to the airwaves. I mean, our new president has talked rightly about accountability and transparency, and, you know, that we all have to step up and be responsible. And I think in this case, there needs to be some accountability and standards put in place.
Senator Debbie Stabenow on the Savage Nation. This is Chris Stigall sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael had an appointment, and Doctor, thanks very much for allowing me to sit in. The telephone number, 800-449-8255, as we pick up where Michael left off. Senator Stabenow and now Senator Harkin of Iowa. As Michael so eloquently said, coming after our millstone, those of us in talk radio, and you are millions and millions strong. This radio program very much in their sights. Don't doubt it for a second. But, you know, I want to pick up here to make a very valid point. It's one thing to say progressive radio or liberal. He's got some little radio show. I don't even know. I don't even know how you find it. I barely know who the man is. I recognize it's just being crushed and run out of every town it pops up. And it's failing. And it's not just... This isn't just anecdotal. We're not just we know that Air America has failed. How do I know he's failed? How do I know this kind of radio fails? There is a radio station. There was a business venture attempted in Washington, D.C. Did you know this? Obama 1260. That was the name of the radio station in Washington, D.C. I remember this story as I was listening to Michael talk about it. Obama 1260, and it featured liberal talk hosts that's got the senators on, doing a little tap dance kick line with him. I've never heard of these people in my life. Anyway, the story reads, they were a victim of undetectable ratings. This was reported by Howard Kurtz. It was called Obama 1260. So here's what they write. The area's only progressive talk station is now changing formats. This was dated February 2nd. It's dropping syndicated hosts in favor of financial news. It started 2 weeks ago. Do you know who owned Obama 1260? The guy that owns the Redskins, Dan Snyder, he bought that station. And let's see, and he bought some others in Washington last summer. And now Washington, D.C., if you can believe it or not, does not have a quote-unquote liberal or progressive or whatever they call themselves now, talk radio station. The program director there, Greg Tantum, says he thought the station would work because of the enthusiasm over Obama. But the ratings collapsed to a level that couldn't be measured. And as you read on, Snyder has he bought another station in town, which features some conservative talk hosts, and the ratings have nearly doubled. Kurtz writes on, the very name Obama 1260 should have embarrassed the syndicated host who appeared on it. It paints them as nothing more than apologists for a man who hadn't yet worked a single day in executive office. The name strongly suggests an overt campaign on behalf of Obama after the election, an effort to propagandize on his behalf. You know, this... What more evidence do you need? In Washington, D.C., the town, the only town on the map that banned your right to a gun. I know what Michael said about the beginning of the show today, turning this into a gun show. I won't do it, but the only think about this. This is the only city that's elected the crack addict for mayor. How many times? I mean, if Bill Press is going to win in a city, it's going to be D.C., isn't it? You've got to figure. Obama 1260 in Washington, D.C., and they can't get it done. It plummets to an unmeasurable level. Across the street, conservative radio, gangbusters, doubling. So it's not just anecdotal. Air America, bankrupt. This is not, you know, this isn't just, you know, Michael or others on the radio telling you that liberal talk radio doesn't work. It doesn't. There's now evidence on paper. But, you know, I read this moron, this conversation with Senator Harkin of Iowa. And he says, you know, we got to get to work on that, the fairness doctrine, because they're shutting down progressive talk from one city after another. All we want is, you know, some balance on the airwaves. That's all. You know, we're not going to take conservative voices off the air, but make sure that there are a few progressives and liberals out there, right? And Harkin, oh, yeah, exactly. That's why we need the fairness doctrine back. First of all, to Senator Harkin, I'd like to know what the numbers are in the availability of progressive or liberal talk radio in Iowa. I mean, I realize that's the state we have to blame for Obama to begin with. You know, really, when I stop and think about that, can you imagine the mess we're in today? We've really got Iowa to thank about it. But that's for another show. But anyway, you got a guy like senators now who are in majority control in Congress begging them for talk radio hearings so he can get his little show heard in markets that matter, in cities that matter. You know, the Savage Nation is broadcast to millions and millions of listeners on hundreds and hundreds of radio stations in major cities all across the country. This guy can't survive in his literally his own backyard, and now he wants it legislated. And I want to ask you, I don't care what it is you do for a living. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be talk radio here. I just want you to, if you are in some kind of competitive business, if you run your own, because in essence, everybody that hosts a talk show is sort of running their own little business. It's sold. It's competitive. You know, you got to do better than the other guy, or you've at least got to hang in there. I want you to imagine, I suppose it's going on a little bit in Washington and on Wall Street right now. But imagine going to a legislator and saying, I'd like you to legislate my success. I can't beat the guy competing against me on the street. I can't beat him in sales. My product's not as good. My company's not as strong. I can't keep employees. Nobody seems interested in what I'm selling, what I'm building, what I'm making, whatever. Senator so-and-so, Congressman so-and-so, would you please call a hearing? Would you please pass some legislation so that I might have a competitive shot in the marketplace? I mean, does the man have genitalia? Can we check? Can we look under the hood there? What kind of man has to go to legislators to ask them to allow him to be competitive? I mean, it makes me laugh. When I think about Michael Savage versus this loser, do you know head-to-head what Michael Savage would... Can you... It makes me... It's laughable. By the way, go to michaelsavage.com. There is some fantastic reading going on there. All right, this all comes up, of course, if you missed it. Michael shared this before he left for his appointment tonight, that Bill Clinton is now jumping on. You had Stabenow first. She seemingly backed off of this. You got Harkin next, both on the Bill Press show. And now you got Clinton, who says he's talking to some talk radio host. I don't know who these people are. Who's doing these interviews? Incidentally, and Michael will tell you this, I think the last time I was here for Michael, I told you that people will not, it's not as though Michael doesn't reach out to people. It's not as though the opportunity doesn't exist for people to come on this show and talk to Michael and the Savage Nation listeners. It's not as though that opportunity isn't there. In fact, I don't know many people in talk radio that reject invitations or that tell people they're not welcome on the air to debate. There's no doubt in my mind there's not a person walking the map that Michael Savage wouldn't happily have a debate with. I have no question. Not only would he do it, he'd do it happily, and he'd win. The problem is they don't come on. They don't want to come on. It's not about debate. It's not about coming on the Savage Nation and debating him. It's about having an equal measure of time on a radio station. You know, if the Savage Nation is 3 hours, that's fair. No, I'd say what's fair, Bill, is you come mano a mano, do battle in the Lion's Den with Michael Savage. Let's have an ideas fight. He wouldn't dare. So Clinton goes on a radio show and says some type of enforced media accountability. You've either got to have the fairness doctrine or we ought to have more balance on the other side. Essentially, there's always been a lot of money to support right-wing talk shows, and let's face it, while it's fairly entertaining, even though they say things I think they are ridiculous. Clinton said there needs to be more balance in the programs or have some opportunity for people to offer countervailing opinions. Do you think Bill Clinton would come on the Savage Nation? It's a great question. I don't know. I'd have to ask his team here. Do you think if the invitation was put out to Bill Clinton, would he appear with Michael Savage? Never in a million years, they tell me. I'm being told by his team that would not happen. How many times have you guys repeatedly invited people to do battle or come at least be heard on the Savage Nation, particularly during presidential campaigns? Dozens, they tell me. Dozens of times. Well, even on my own local show, this happens all the time. You ask these people to come on. Oh, no, they don't want that. They just want their own opportunity to grandstand. Let's go to... Let's pick up where Michael left off, too. I like this conversation in Chicago where Tom is waiting. What makes you turn off the radio? That's another, besides liberal talk radio, Tom. My name's Chris. In for Michael. This is the Savage Nation.
My pleasure.
What makes you turn off the radio, Tom?
Chris, I hear the Hollywood people talking on the radio, I'd flip it right off. Anything to do with Hollywood nauseates me. It is the height of liberalism. It's the height of stupidity, ignorance, and guess what? Their egotistical, pompous, the arrogance that comes out of Hollywood is something to behold. You know, I read Michael's book, his latest book, Psychological Nudity. As a matter of fact, I own it. And he says, there was something in there that really impressed me. He says, be careful what you say. God hears the truth, but waits. You know, that's very profound. I think that's very profound.
Tom, I like your voice. I appreciate the call, Tom. I got to run here, but thanks for the call. Tom in Chicago. That guy, I don't want to tell Savage how to do his business, but I tell you, that guy ought to read the audio version of Michael's book, Psychological Nudity. Guy had some pipes. 800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation.
Officer took me immediately from the plane to a detention center. Actually, I'm sitting in a detention center now, and they said, you are detained. We have to take your passport. We have decided that you are not welcome in the United Kingdom, and you will be sent away within 1 or 2 hours. And I'm sitting in the detention center waiting for them to bring me to a plane back to Amsterdam.
Chris Stigall, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. That's the voice of a guy named Gert Wilders, or Wilders. He is considered an anti-Islam Dutch politician. Now, I don't know if that's accurate to say. This is the first I know of the guy. But already the lead suggests anti-Islam. You know, that to me, that's misleading. I don't know the guy's history. I can't stand up and categorically say that this guy, under any circumstances, has no tolerance of any kind for anyone Islamic or tied to Islam. Even so, let's presume that's the case. He's banned from Britain, banned from entering the UK. If you don't know the story, this is how it reads. Keeping in mind what I told you, an anti-Islam Dutch politician banned from entering Great Britain, sent back to the Netherlands after he traveled to the UK anyway. This is up and linked at michaelsavage.com. Upon Geert Wilders' arrival at Heathrow Airport, he was presented with a letter from Britain's Home Office saying that his opinions threaten community security. Listen to this. His opinions threaten community security. What does that sound a lot like? Maybe what we were just talking about in the last segment, what Michael was talking about. Bill Clinton, Senator Stabenow, Senator Harkin, and others. The right-wing lawmaker had been invited by a member of parliament to show his anti-Islam movie, Fitna, which calls the Quran a fascist book and accuses Islam of being a violent religion. So, there you have it. One guy in the British government steps up and says, a Muslim member of the British government steps up and says, yeah, I don't like that guy. I don't like what he has to say. I don't like his film. Ban him. And the all too willing and compliant British government says, okay, stopped him at the airport and sent him home. How far away do you think we are from this? Do you think that's far off from here? I think it's already happening. I think the push is on without question. 800-449-8255. Reed, San Francisco. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes. Hi, I just wanted to confirm what you've been saying about liberal talk shows. I mean, most of their topics are pretty vague. They're not very specific. Their detail is sophomoric at best. They can't even expand on their topics, and they always resort to just bashing Bush. It's pretty pathetic, to say the least. And if they think that they're going to be able to force this upon the general public, I think we have a right to choose. So they can do all they want at the government level, but we'll still turn the radio station. And I just don't see the sense in forcing this down our throat. I don't see it. And one other thing, Chris, I might mention, there are a few of these talk show stations that are liberal that are actually owned by the same people that own conservative talk show radio stations, which I find quite interesting, the oxymoron there. For instance, the station that Michael, I'd care to see how you feel about that, if that's a conflict at all.
Yeah, well, you know, Reed, the fact of the matter is, I mean, and that's a rare example, and I appreciate, thanks for the phone call today. The here's what I fear, and I would, you know, I'm grateful to Michael for allowing me the time here and to be here and to talk to you and his vast audience about this, and all the people that carry the Savage Nation. This is extremely important, and it's not just on Michael. That's what I don't want. What I don't want is guys like Michael Savage to have to carry the fight and the burden alone. And by the way, it isn't going to be enough for him and for you and the finest fleet of lawyers alone. It shouldn't be. What it should be on, and I'm going to call him out right now, and I hope Michael doesn't mind, it should be on every station owner that carries the Savage Nation and every company that owns a station that carries the Savage Nation. So it makes money, but not just makes money. It makes money telling a truth, something you want to listen to, as Reed just said. Now, what I can't figure out, but what I'll tell you is true, if a law comes down, if the government steps in here and decides to enact this in a way that physically forces radio companies to provide some kind of balance, you know what's going to happen? I'm sorry to tell you this. With some rare exceptions, they'd just rather not have the fight. And then it'll be the good time cooking hour or something. Now, I would encourage you to encourage your local radio station and their corporate ownerships. It's time to lawyer up. It's not just on Michael. It's not just on you. It's on all of us. Freedom of speech has to take a stand right now.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Chris Stegall sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. The number, 800-449-8255, 800-449-8255. We've been talking fairness doctrine tonight. And what is it about the fairness doctrine that excites people like Bill Clinton, who today said, yep, bring it back. Tom Harkin, who yesterday, senator from Iowa, said, yep, bring it back. Debbie Stabenow, senator, yep, bring it back. Why is it they want it so desperately? Because you're too smart. There's a real problem with people that listen to the Savage Nation. It's that you're too educated. And we all know what education does when you got a bunch of Wall Street and government tyrants running the show. Education and investigation ultimately leads to their dethroning. They know it. We're it. Michael's it. And Michael, thank you for allowing me the venue tonight. I do appreciate it. Check out michaelsavage.com to read all the latest news. And there are some big stories today, including Judd Gregg, the Republican, who Barack Obama chose to be his commerce secretary, says, I'm out. I couldn't be Judd Gregg, he says. Republican Senator Judd Gregg abruptly withdrawing his nomination as Barack Obama's commerce secretary, saying he couldn't be Judd Gregg and serve in this cabinet. The White House said they'd reached out, that Gregg had reached out to Obama and sought the commerce nomination, and that he'd promised that despite past agreements about policies, he would support, embrace, and move forward with the president's agenda. You do have to wonder, and I don't understand. I mean, I don't pretend to care to understand what the agitating street thug from Chicago is thinking. It's hard to get into his head. Why would you pick a Republican that has formally pledged to disband the Commerce Secretary? Well, now, you know, I think about the Commerce Department. If Judd Gregg was calling at one point in his political life for the dissolution of the Commerce Department, maybe that goes hand in hand with what they're trying to do with the census. Maybe Obama thinks this is the guy. Of course, that makes total sense. I want the census back under my control for my political gain, and this Republican nitwit might be the guy to do it. He wants to tear down the... Maybe he can help me from the inside out tear the Commerce Department down, thus emboldening and empowering my administration. Could that be it? Representative Daryl Issa of New York, I believe, is not working from a position of strength as the ranking Republican on the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. He wants to exercise some oversight when it comes to the Obama administration's controversial decision to transfer control of the Census Bureau from professionals at the Commerce Department to political aides in the White House, meaning Rahm Emanuel, the other street thug from Chicago. But as a member of the minority party, he doesn't have the power to compel the administration to do anything. So this week, Issa wrote Obama a tough-sounding letter saying that placing the Census Bureau in the hands of the White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, is a shamelessly transparent attempt by your administration to politicize the census and manipulate the 2010 census. And it doesn't take rocket science to understand why the White House and Rahm Emanuel would want to control the census. Control the census, fix the counts, shift the districts. Certain states lose representation. Other states gain representation. Which states gain representation, Savage Nation? I think you know the answer to that. It's where the most people are. Well, where do you get the most people? What states have the most people? And I don't mean legal people. Huh? All right, you get it. 800-449-8255. So I don't know. Maybe that's why he thought Judd Gregg was a good guy. Well, Gregg stands up today and says, you know what? I can't sleep. And I got to tell you something. It sent a chill down my spine, a positive one. I couldn't believe there was actually someone in Washington, D.C. Whether he meant it or not, I don't care. I'll buy into it today just because I need hope, some kind of hope, and not that Barack Obama phony hope in a can. Judd Gregg says, I cannot do this. I cannot go to work for a man who just rammed through this sham bill, full, larded up with pork, who's giving us no voice, not listening to the public on the thing. It has no tax cuts in it whatsoever, despite the public's full knowledge, your knowledge, because again, you're too smart. You know tax cuts. More of your money makes more sense in stimulating the economy. He couldn't do it. That and hijacking the census and putting it back under the control of the White House to rig representative government? Judd Gregg woke up today and said, you know what? I've got a conscience and I can't do it. Sorry. I'm out. Well, I would dare say you wouldn't know much, if anything, about the census. I would dare say you wouldn't know much, if anything, about the lard in this ridiculous bill that the House and Senate are about to vote on one more time and then send to the president, that those three cowards, Snow, Collins, and Specter, have helped send on its way and consequently the country down the tubes. I mean, Gregg's one of these Northeast Republicans, you know, one of these Northeastern kind of squish types traditionally. But today he stood up and, you know, you wish it would rub off a little bit on the girls from Maine. What's in this bill for the girls from Maine? See, the thing is, you're too smart. Talk radio listeners are too smart. This is why they need the Fairness Doctrine. So many millions of people listen to the Savage Nation and they get this information. They find out, as Michael's got on his website, michaelsavage.com. You've got to read this. You wouldn't know this if it weren't for Michael Savage. This link today. Where's the pork, Mr. Obama? Here. It's a link right under the picture of Michael's new book, Psychological Nudity. michaelsavage.com. Click on it. He was reading it early in the show tonight. $200 million for workplace safety in USDA facilities. Do you know how much pork in this list Tom Colburn has put out? You know how much of it involves building remodifications for government, building upgrades, creating new buildings? Now, remember, some of the CEOs were up there before government today justifying remodeling their offices. Half this pork bill goes right into remodeling government offices, building new buildings, getting the new leather-bound chairs for their fat bureaucratic keisters to sit behind a computer all day. Wouldn't know this were it not for talk radio. You wouldn't. You think the talking heads on TV are reading you what's in the pork bill? Who's doing that? Who on television's doing it? Anyone? They just keep calling Barack Obama stimulus plan. You know, the best you're going to get out of ABC and Charlie Gibson last week was, oh, he bumped his widow head on Marine One. That was a news story. Not even 5 minutes into a national nightly newscast, they did a story on Barack Obama bumping his head on a helicopter. Well, we're all learning. You're too smart. And they hate it. Talk about a pet project. Another headline here from the Washington Times. A tiny mouse. You guys in San Francisco, Pelosi country, the San Francisco treat. I love this. A tiny mouse with the longtime backing of a political giant may soon reap the benefits of the economic stimulus package. Lawmakers and administration officials divulging yesterday that the $789 billion economic stimulus bill, which is being finalized behind closed doors, includes $30 million for wetlands restoration that the Obama administration intends to spend in the San Francisco Bay Area to protect, among other things, the endangered salt marsh harvest mouse. Does Michael get out there much and hunt for the salt marsh harvest mouse? I know he walks around the bay quite a bit, bikes. Has he been taking inventory? Did you know the salt marsh harvest mouse was endangered out there in the Bay Area? Maybe Michael can work on that for. Maybe we can get Michael a chunk of the $30 million. He can personally invest himself in that. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, of course, representing San Francisco, previously observing the mouse's habitat in the Bay Area. This is a headline titled "Pelosi's Mouse Slated for 30 million Slice of Cheese." Would you know this without talk radio? Of course you wouldn't. And are you better off for it or not? Even if you don't politically agree with much of anything you hear, are you better off for knowing this or not? Would you just rather not know it? New poll out today from Rasmussen. 62% of U.S. voters want this plan, to include more tax cuts and less government spending. Well, it's just the opposite. This is a brand new poll. 62% of voters want more tax cuts and less government spending, and it's just the opposite. And in fact, it's so the opposite, they're saying, hurry, 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 let's pass this thing before those idiots out there listening to talk radio figure us out. It's the greatest scam ever. This guy is Frank Abagnale, that guy that DiCaprio played in Catch Me If You Can. That's who Obama is. He's slick as ice, this one. He is pulling the... And why do you think he's running all over the country? Think about this. If this has such broad appeal and support, why is he going all over the country pitching it? Why is he on TV every night telling you how wrong-headed and idiotic and obfuscating the Republicans are being? Why does he have to tell you that? If you're so blindly loyal and numbly willing to go along with this guy in this pork bill, if everybody loves it so much, and it's just the wing nuts on talk radio that are giving it pushback, why is he taking up network time and flying all over the country to sell the bill? It's very, very simple. He knows the public's against it. He knows you're too smart. And folks, that's talk radio. That's the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Chris Stegall sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255. Today also, they keep calling it the 200 birthday. Can dead guys have birthdays? I mean, I mean no disrespect to Abraham Lincoln, but the 200th birthday of Abraham Lincoln. And furthermore, why is Obama celebrating it in Springfield, Illinois? I mean, I know land of Lincoln and the Capitol and all of that. He was born in Kentucky. You knew that. Yeah, I digress. Although, you know what today also is? There's also another birthday, and I find it very interesting, although not surprising. Google, I don't know if you use their website, go to that search engine much. A lot of people do when they're trying to find something. You know, in their big header there on their front page, you know, their name, Google. And normally when it's a holiday or you're observing something, they normally put up a little caricature or something to signify the day. So what do you think they chose between today, the 200th birthday of Abraham Lincoln, or Charles Darwin's birthday? What do you think Google chose to recognize? Go there now. Check it out. Okay, you've been waiting patiently. 800-449-8255. Let's go right to the Savage Nation. Start in San Francisco with Sean. Sean, I'm Chris, in for Michael on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, Chris. It's a pleasure talking with you. And
thank you.
I wanted to point out that the Islamic bulletin advertising is on all the buses. I don't know if you've seen them, if you're in San Francisco, Chris. But I want to tell you real quickly, I'm originally from Iran. I've been here as a citizen for 30 years. But let me tell you about the Iran's Islamic fascist mafia human rights, where when you disagree and human free speech over there, the reward is basically tongue. This is aired on their TV, so people get a lesson. cutting tongues off, pulling eye gouging, public lashing, whipping, hanging, stoning of children. What else?
So tell me, you know what, Sean? Tell me this. You hear that a Muslim in the British government has demanded that a Dutch member of the government is not allowed, not welcome into the country. One guy, one member of British government says another man is not welcome to the country because of statements he's made, films he's made, speeches he's given. Now, when you hear that that's going on in that government, one guy, one member of the Muslim faith in British government can keep someone out of the country simply for speech. What does that say to you? Where is Britain headed? And do you see it happening here?
Some of the richest Arabs from Saudi Arabia, people that have millions in their pocket, like us having a few dollars in our pocket, comparatively. But the point is that Islam is a religion.
For the call, I appreciate it. I'm not going to get into that tonight, and I'm not going to solve it tonight. I know Michael has in-depth discussions about that. And look, the fact of the matter is. I don't know what this lawmaker, and we were talking about this lawmaker that was kicked out of Britain, a Dutch lawmaker. He was immediately billed by Fox News, anyway, as anti-Islam. Well, I don't know. I don't know the man. I haven't read his work. I haven't seen anything. But to immediately paint someone as anti-Islam because there are factions or there's a strong movement within Islam, that doesn't necessarily make one anti-Islam. They've tried to do that to Dr. Savage before. And so that's obviously a subject matter this show is very, very sensitive to and well aware of. So I'll leave that to him to discuss. We'll go to Susan in Chicago. Susan, I'm Chris, in for Michael on the Savage Nation. Hi.
By the Obama administration, what position he's been nominated to?
Well, it sounds very familiar. David Ogden, help me.
Top official in the Justice Department, Deputy Attorney General.
That's right. He's the lobbyist, right?
Career, he's an attorney defending pornography, the pornography industry, even a child pornography case before the Supreme Court. The Obama administration believes this is free speech, but political speech on talk radio has to be silenced.
Great point, Susan. I got to run here. I'm up against a break. Great point. 800-449-8255. Chris Stigall in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
DeGaulle sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation at 800-449-8255. So back on the top of the headlines again, return of the fairness doctrine. Very, very interesting. This was not really on the map until Bill Clinton has now signed off today. A lot of you have been calling in 800-449-8255 commenting on this. Getting too smart. Tom Harkin of Iowa, same deal. He mouthed off about it. Now Bill Clinton today saying the same thing. And now it's banner headlines. Democrats consider reviving fairness doctrine. Lawmakers considering pushing the revived fairness doctrine to help increase the number of liberal shows on the airwaves. Well, at least the headline's being accurate. Democrats considering pushing to revive fairness doctrine to help increase the number of liberal shows on the airwaves. And I just ask you again, I got to tell you, before I would go to my grave sooner than I would have someone in Washington, D.C. flag-waving and pom-pom-shaking for me to keep a living. All right, well, listen, 800-449-8255. I'll just go to the phone. A lot of you got a lot to say on this and other issues, so let's try. Let's see. Oh, on the census, Rahm Emanuel and the White House trying to hijack the census. That's another big deal. That's why Judd Gregg today, the other big news, Republican Senator Judd Gregg, who Obama said was going to be his next Commerce Secretary, pulled out today. Said, no, I don't like what you've done with this pork bill. You're hijacking the country, and I don't like what you're trying to do with the census. I'm out. Jim's in Great Falls, and you're on the Savage Nation. Jim, welcome. I'm Chris. Hi.
Yeah, I was just curious about the fact, what's going to happen to all of us up here that are, like, mostly white in Montana, and the fact that we just don't have anything to do with the rest of the country.
Well, Jim, I mean, there's so few of you anyway. Look, Jim, look, I know Montana. I had a friend that lived and worked there for a time, and there's so few of you anyway. I mean, white or not, there's so few of you anyway. You really don't even need representation. Not when there's so many warm bodies in California and Texas, Jim. I mean, why do you even need representation? There are three or four of you and some buffalo roaming up there. You don't need representatives in Congress.
That's just kind of it, isn't it? You know, we don't need anybody to stand up for us.
No, Jim, you're fine up there. No, I say that tongue-in-cheek, Jim, of course. Guys like you should be worried. You know, Kansas, same thing. You know, there are only four representatives in the state of Kansas, and there's sincere talk with the gerrymandering and the hijacking of the census. You know, that could be consolidated to two representatives for the entire state of Kansas. It's just, that's the kind of thing that could happen. Meanwhile, who gets overrepresented? Who gets inflated representation? Why are all the urban core activists knocking on the door of Rahm Emanuel and Barack Obama? Well, areas like Chicago, California, Texas, and all, you know, the infusion of illegals. For Pete's sakes, I mean, this is it. It's a warm body headcount. And guess how they'll ultimately end up voting? Once Acorn gets their share of the shakedown porculus bill money. Oh, it's all hand in hand. It's actually quite an orchestrated event, what's going on. Portland, Stephen, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I was curious to know what would the problem be if there were more liberal talk shows. How could you possibly see that there would be a problem with that, being as that 9 out of 10 radio hosts, not so much tend to lean conservatively, but are definitely not liberal. So I'm just a question for you.
Well, I guess, and I'll just turn it back on you. What do you think the problem would be, or what do you think the advantage would be, and what do you think it would accomplish, and what do you think ultimately the outcome would be, and how would you legislate it? More to the point, Stephen, let's stay with it for a minute. How would you legislate and enact the fairness doctrine? Like, what's considered fair to you? How would we do that? How would you get started?
This isn't like you versus me, man. I'm just like, what? How could there be any kind of harm in having a few more viewpoints out there rather than just the conservative talk? You know, I listen to both sides of the left and the right, and I.
Okay, so you get it already.
Well, yeah, but I find that in certain parts of the country, I mean, I'm in Portland, Oregon, so, you know, Air America out here, you know, and KOJ, everybody listens to that, you know, but we're in Portland, Oregon. But say I were in, you know, West Virginia or somewhere, you know, that tends to be a bit more red than Oregon, than Portland, Oregon does. I mean, what are the odds that I'll pick up a liberal station while I'm out there? I just think that having a variety, I don't think it could hurt anybody. So to you, how do you feel about, you know, having, say, 50-50 rather than, you know, 1 out of 10 being liberal? I mean, having a bit more liberal, how would that harm you?
Well,
I would imagine.
Here's the thing, and I know you're not being combative. You're honestly asking me a question. So I'm honestly answering you, and I'm not trying to be combative. I'm trying to explain to you exactly why what you're saying to me bothers me. If the federal government tries to dictate to the network that the Savage Nation is broadcast, or individual station ownership, the offerings they should put on the air. If a government tells an ownership, this is what you must air, whether or not it does well, whether or not they can sell it, because, you know, Stephen, after all, we are on the business of making money. I mean, radio stations have to make money, and you say you listen to Air America, you probably realize then, and while they may have listenership in Portland, I don't know their listenership there nationwide, it's abysmal, and they have filed bankruptcy. I think they maybe have had to do so twice, or they're about to again. They're on the brink of economic devastation. So I guess I'd ask you, if you are an investor or you're the owner of a radio station and the government comes along, Stephen, and says, you've got to air this product that's filed bankruptcy once, if not twice, you'd say what?
No, but it doesn't say that you have to. You have to have a liberal radio station, or be one for one. It's just you have to provide for equal time, or at least opposing viewpoints. I would imagine that would make business good for you. That you should say, okay, bring out liberal radio if that's how you feel that, people, if they tune into liberal radio stations, would then be, awakened to whatever it is that you think that they're projecting. I would think that would be good business for you, because if they were to, the dial to the left, hang on one second, if they were to turn the dial to the left, the far left, okay, and they were to realize that that's just bogus, that the truth is really right there on the far right, I would think that that would be good business for you guys.
Stephen, as Michael said this morning, or a little earlier in the show today, I'm sorry, not this morning, a little earlier in the show today, he made the point. If you can literally find the left's point of view on every outlet on television, cable, online, and in print, and the only medium, the only band of anything available of conservative talk is on the AM dial, for the most part, a few FM stations across the country, how then is that fair unto itself? I would submit to you, Stephen, if there's a balance problem out there, it's a lack of balance and infusion of the rights ideals.
Well, I do thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate this this conversation.
I do too, Stephen. Thank you very much. Up there in Portland, where the what are the laws on the medical marijuana up there? Frank, Chicago. I'm Chris, in for Mike on the Savage Nation. Look, you can try to have a simple analytical conversation with them, Frank. I don't know. Does it work? He didn't have much to say to me beyond that once I broke it down. But anyway, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I just really want to say the Democratic Party and basically the way they're treating people, they're treating us all like children. But they're the ones that are in the candy store right now. They're the ones in majority. And what they're doing is between talking to CEOs and having them sell their planes as a condition for their payouts, and the way they've treated people across the board. I haven't really listened much in the past, but listening to this, they're just running rampant, and they're the ones that are so.
Oh, listen, Frank, I got to tell you, I know what you're saying. John Kerry 2 days ago. I've been playing this clip myself. I don't know if you guys have it. I don't know if Michael's been playing this or not. John Kerry on the floor of the Senate just said 2 days ago that Americans don't know what the hell to do with a tax cut. We're not giving tax cuts to businesses and individuals because you won't necessarily spend it the way we see fit. Government. He said it. Government. He restated it again. These are his words. Well, you guys have got to find that if you don't have it, because it is chilling. This guy, he literally has now said, as you point out, Frank, like children, government knows how best to spend money. You don't get it back. You don't deserve it. You give it to us. We're wearing the big boy pants. We'll dole it out as we see fit. It is. It's quite frightening, as a matter of fact. Let's go to Kansas City. Jeff, I'm Chris, in for Michael on the Savage Nation. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing? I just wanted to make a comment about the Fairness Doctrine and how their policies resemble that. I don't know if you remember reading anything about what was called the Proletcult in the old Soviet Union, when Joseph Stalin mandated that writers and filmmakers become engineers of the human soul, so to speak. Okay, this is eerily similar to that ideology, in my opinion.
Well, it's, and there's evidence of it everywhere. And, people will pile on immediately if you start pointing to anything like that or the Nazi era. People, are you suggesting that Obama is a Nazi? Well, there are eerie similarities, Jeff. And thanks for the call. You make a great point. It's going on with Al Jazeera right now. Hey, Obama's first interview was with Al Arabiya. That had to be censored. They didn't quite like that. What was it? China. China not too long ago. Obama's inauguration speech. He started talking about democracy or something like that. And China's cut it out or dumped out of certain portions of his inaugural speech in China. That stuff goes on in China. Let's do one more here. Paul San Antonio. I'm Chris, in for Michael on the Savage Nation. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, hey, Chris. Hey, topic follow-up to Stephen from Portland. Yeah, you know, look, government has no business dictating what we listen to. They have absolutely no business dictating anything dealing with free speech. Additionally, talk radio, it's basically a business. It's set up for a profit. So you've got government then getting inside that, you know, telling you what you can and can't put on the radio, what basically your profit is going to be out of your business. You know, they're just trying to drive talk radio and go it away. Additionally, your comment about talk radio basically is the only place that people who basically are conservative can get the education that they need about just how bad, you know, things are going in the government. All this stuff with the economic stimulus plan, I mean, it's ridiculous.
No, Paul, but that's your problem. That's our problem. That's my problem, Paul. Things aren't going badly. Things are going splendidly. Barack Obama's here. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Thanks for the call, Paul, as we go to break. Just keep saying it with me. Things are great. Yes, we can. This is the Savage Nation. Yes,
Savage.
We can.
Is non-targeted. If you put a tax cut into the hands of either a business or an individual today, there is no guarantee they're going to invest their money. There's no guarantee they're going to invest their money in the United States. They're free to go to invest anywhere that they want if they choose to invest. The fact is, none of those people are guaranteed to invest that money in any of the new projects that we are. So government, yes, government has the ability to be able to make a decision that the private sector won't necessarily make today.
Wow. Chris Stigall sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, it's a great pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity very much. 800-449-8255. Thank you, Savage Nation, for tuning in. John Kerry, the clip I said in the last segment would send chills down your spine. If you're an American that still believes that your money that you earn is yours and should be yours, and the best stimulus is your money that you've earned back in your pocket. That man, the overreach going on now, the absolute cocky arrogance, the swagger. Two senators and now a former president, Bill Clinton, in the last, week? Are now calling for the Fairness Doctrine. They have now started to slowly shift the debate to you. And it is about you. It's not about Michael Savage or any other personality behind a microphone. It's really about stopping you. And I really got to thinking about the pothead in the last, I don't know if you were with it. We had a guy from Portland. He was a very nice guy. I mean, he was terribly naive, very nice, terribly ignorant. And it actually occurred to me something. You know, when you hear people like him or anyone call and say, what's wrong with having a discussion? What's wrong with opposite points of view? Why shouldn't every radio station have two points of view? Man, what's wrong with that? Get out an Arnold Guthrie CD, a Woody Guthrie CD. This land is your land, man. It's my land. What's wrong with it? Something dawned on me. The guy actually is operating already from a point of view. He doesn't realize it. When he listens to the Savage Nation, it offends his sensibilities. He realizes something's wrong with the world as he understands it and knows it, which tells you what? He's been submerged and has absorbed only one stream of consciousness in between the tokes. He only knows one way of thinking. The media he consumes, the messages he receives, probably not only from the home, but everything he's ever heard or knows or reads. When he hears Michael Savage, when he listens to talk radio, he recoils. People that listen to talk radio and recoil and get whipped up and demand fairness, what does that mean? Well, it means they already have an inherent bias. It means, then, they've been submerged in what is exactly our point, what we've been talking about, everything else. Newspapers, television news, Hollywood, talk radio shocks and offends their sensibilities. It seems unbalanced, you see? You need to drop and forget this balance and fairness thing and just get educated. Talk radio provides information and the opportunity for you to call in and question information. Callers are the balance. The callers are the opportunity to debate ideas. I get it all the time. Savage gets it all the time. I've got guys that are, I'm not kidding. I have had emails today, people telling me, and these are conservatives that email me regularly, that tell me Abraham Lincoln is a constitutional criminal who launched the war of northern aggression on the South. Okay, so don't tell me there's not dissent, there's not debate, there's not an open arena of ideas on talk radio. There most certainly is. There are people full tilt wacky. Sure there are. Michael Savage is an independent conservative. He's no party liner. A number of people on hold have got questions, opinions. They're the balance. Talk radio is a format for debate and discussion. It's not on somebody else's terms. The government doesn't dictate that. We love debate. Balance is not an issue for talk radio. We're in the debate every day. We debate real Americans, even the pothead. I had a discussion with him. He didn't even realize it. I was being fair, man. That I even entertained a ridiculous discussion like that. That was pure, unadulterated fairness. And that's what this is about. Look, we haven't even seen the bill. I say, if it weren't for talk radio, you haven't even seen the big pork bill that they promised total transparency. Promised total transparency. You haven't seen it. You've only heard about it on talk radio. Where's that balance? We can't get facts about how trillions of our dollars are being spent. It's supposed to be posted online. It's nowhere. Look, spend a little less time, pothead, worrying about talk radio. Worry about the thieves in Washington that are taking your pot money. Worry about the media lying to you every day, every other media outlet. Worry about a national debt that'll kill us with inflation. Who's talking about that? I'll tell you who's talking about it. Talk radio is. Michael Savage is. And thank God you're listening while you can. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.